Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's old or a new point, call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been a keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
It is what it is.
Peace, peace. What up, family? We back in the building. This is your brother, Brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev.
And this is Rigel, no, a.k.a.
Hotel for Barigani and Aslam Alaikum. This is Mufasa Ra.
And we are Collective Minds Radio. Family, we back again for another week. Hopefully to share constructive dialogue, interesting conversation. You dig? We appreciate you joining us tonight. Y'all know how we do. This has been an amazing year, 2020. There's been a lot going on. Things have been changing so fast, so quick, you know, as we move through this year. It is now, we still in Gemini season. You dig, it is the 14th of June, so shout out to all the Geminis. Another birthday shout out to Queen Rigel, you dig. So we back, y'all, we here, we in the building. Yeah, we about to have a great show. So before we get started, you know what I'm saying, Queen Rigel and Brother Mufasa, how was y'all week? And do y'all have any announcements for the family?
No announcements for me. I had a great week. Just ready to get it in.
Yes, indeed. Brother Mufasa, how was your week, my brother? And you got any announcements for us?
Yeah. All right, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
Yeah, I had a good week. Very productive week. Getting things accomplished. As far as announcements go, no major announcements for this time. I did make an announcement last week, maybe I didn't, but coming up July 4th, for those who are interested, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan will be making a statement around the situations and where we're at right now in this time frame. You know, people have been asking where the nation at on this and that, and how the nation stand on what we're going through with police brutality. So I'm hoping we'll hear him address it out of his own mouth on July 4th. But what I've had told people, all you guys do is look in the archives. You know, Minister Farrakhan has spoken about police brutality for quite some time and how we're supposed to deal with police and deal with our situation here in America. I'm talking about someone who's been talking about this for 40-plus years. So that's it for my announcement. So, yeah, I'm ready to chop it up as well.
All right, yes, indeed. And, yeah, this is Brother Kev. No announcements from Brother Kev today. You know, just shout out to everybody. I know things starting to open up. But, you know, we also got to remain, you know, diligent and pay attention to our surroundings, pay attention to what these people are saying on the news, you know, with things going on. So, you know, I just want to encourage the family to stay safe. Even though, you know, get outside, do your thing, enjoy life, but, you know, also be safe, and keep your head on a swivel. You dig?
Be wise, in other words.
Yeah, be wise. There you go. Be wise, in other words. So, yeah, family, on today's show, we are talking about police reform, or better yet, the question is, should we reform, defund, or demolish the police altogether, right? Of course, you know, a lot of, we all know that after the George Floyd murder in police custody, there were a lot of protests, uprisings around the world, more specifically in the United States. Every major city was protesting. You know, the police was taking a lot of ills. Some protesters was getting hemmed up. It was a lot going on. And people were, you know, the conversation has started, should they defund the police? And that's kind of the conversation that's been going on. So we here at Collective Minds, being part of the new black media, wanted to discuss this as well and try to get the opinions of the family, you know, out in the universe and out in the airwaves. You know, so here we are. Now, before we get started, I do want to share these two stories with you guys. I don't know if you know, but in Seattle, right, in Seattle, people have taken over a six-square zone in Seattle. They call, right now, they call it Chaz, right? That's Chaz, C-H-A-Z. And it's an acronym for Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, right? And they call it Chaz. So within this, you know, six-block radius zone, they don't have no police. They got armed guards basically protecting the inside. From the articles that I've seen, right, they in there, they got music, they passing out food to each other. You know, some people sleeping out there. Like, it's just an autonomous zone where they don't have any functioning police. And what it is they think they're going to, you know, just set up something until they figure out what to do with their particular police force. And this is in Seattle again, and the Seattle Police Department has actually stood down. So they haven't even engaged. They kind of just let them do their thing until they kind of, I guess, figure out what they want to do with it. But look this up, family. This is called Chaz in Seattle. Let me just read a paragraph from this article real quick. It says, if you are unfamiliar with the backstory, here's what happened. After tensions escalated, and this is, by the way, from Forbes magazine. You can find this article online. It's about the Chaz Zone in Seattle. Okay, it says, after tensions escalated between peaceful protesters and police, Seattle officials ordered the police force to stand down and evacuate the Capitol Hill section of the city. The protesters then took over a small swath of about six blocks in downtown Seattle, renaming it the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. There's an internal debate underway as we speak to change the name. It was reported, depending upon the ideology behind the media coverage, as a new peaceful vision of how communities could be run. It was seen as a self-sustaining commune, police-free zone, and a big F you to all the racists and haters in America. Initially, most protesters demanded that the police be abolished and Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkan to be fired. Okay, so that's just a little something was going on. That one part was very crucial. It was a self-sustaining commune, police-free zone, and a big F you to all the racists and haters in America, right? So imagine that, family, this block in Seattle where this is going down. So the other story I wanted to share, and we can get into the conversation. We'll get to the call lines here in a second as well. This story comes from the Minneapolis City Council. They unanimously vote to abolish its police department and replace it with a community-led public safety system. Okay, this happened recently. This just happened this past week. Like I say, and things have been happening so fast these days, like every day is something new. So this is Minneapolis, which, again, is a major U.S. city, and their city council has voted unanimously to abolish their police department and replace it with a community-led public safety system. How that looks, I'm not sure. That's kind of what we're here to talk about. You know, do the police get reformed? Can we reform these police, you know, from killing unarmed black people or killing unarmed people as well? You know, they kill a lot of unarmed people. Can we reform them? I think the issue is the percentage of, you know, black people that are killed, and also with the media sensationalizing black deaths as well, kind of adds to, you know, to the hysteria. Can we reform that system? Should we defund it, basically take funds away and don't give them as much money as they need, or, you know, don't give them the resources that they need or that they claim they need? Or should we demolish the police department as a whole? You know, that is the question we ask in the family today. Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. So I just wanted to put those two articles out there. Did y'all have a respond to, you know, what's going on in Seattle and or Minneapolis, Queen Roger and Brother Mufasa?
No, I think it kind of goes in line with the topic anyway. So basically, as far as I'm concerned, my opinion rather is that I'm on the fence as far as just totally demolishing the force and getting rid of them. Now, maybe some parts of the states may be able to do what that small community in Seattle did and be okay for a period of time. Not sure how long that could last, if depending on how things was to actually evolve and how many police departments will be demolished. I'm on the fence with that because I think, unfortunately, a lot of the communities or the people that's within the communities are sick and suffer from certain things. I'm not speaking about the reasons and the causes right now, but unfortunately, when you have crime, somebody needs to do something. I'm not saying that it can't happen in a productive way, because when I went to visit Africa, they are very similar to that, where they do have police uniform, but it's definitely not, at least from my experience, I didn't go all over Africa, but from the places that I've been, that I was in, it was very similar. The communities kind of handled the situation if something was to happen, you know.
Right.
But we talked about this has been in place like this, so we would have to know how to make the system, if we were going to go that route, productive and fair, because that's the issue. We want it to be fair. We don't want to go from one injustice to another one. So I don't understand right now how it could work. Well, I guess we're not talking about just something that's just going to happen immediately. I would expect maybe it will happen maybe over time. I don't know. But I'm still on the fence because I want to know, you know, what will be the repercussions if someone – I haven't really had to call the police in a long time. Thank God. But if I was to have to call the police, I had to recommend my mom to call the police recently, actually just a few days ago. I recommended that. So if the police is not in place, how would that situation be handled? If I would not recommend her to call the police, then what? And everything else is going to have to complement the fact that we don't have police as well. If I was to go and handle the situation myself, then whatever repercussions that could happen, it was going to have to complement the fact that, okay, I can't call the police, so this is something that I have to do. So I want to know, I guess I want to see more. I'm not saying no to the whole demolishing thing, but I'm leery about it because I think that some areas probably do need it, and some people rather may need an extra encouragement to maybe do the right thing by other members of the community. Now, reforming, it totally needs to be reformed. That's definitely not up for debate. Outside of that, I don't even really, I know the discussion is about defunding or reforming or demolishing the police department. I, for one, I can just say what I said and leave that there, because that's not our biggest issue. Our biggest issue is not the police department. I think I may have mentioned this last week. So I don't really, it doesn't matter currently today what the decision is going to be, because ultimately the problem is way, way bigger than the police force anyway. The police officers are able to get away with the cruelty and the unjust and the evilness and the brutality that they inflict on the community, in particular black people, because there's a bigger system that allows them to get away with it. They can go in, they can kill somebody and get off. They can, you know, they can abuse somebody and beat them up and break their legs and things like that and get off, because there is a higher system. So I, for one, want to, I think the focus should be mainly just on racism, just evil people just being mean and abusing their power simply because they don't like a group of people or a person because of their color. I know that I'm going to just touch base on this really quick, and then I can pass it on, because I know Mufasa has sent us a question about an incident where a police officer did kill a non-black person. And I know that they do that, because you do have people just in general that just abuse their power. I think a lot of times in those cases when it's non-black, it's not a racist thing. You know, they just evil a lot of times, or they just don't know how to, or they just abuse their power. In this particular case that Mufasa was talking about, I think it was just an accident. I don't think they meant to kill him. But when you have a black person with a police officer, when they are abused and killed, it's because they don't like black people. It's because of racism. And I think that's the problem that is, I think we need to stand against racism. And racism alone, I think, could reform the police. Because I think that's when it comes, when as it relates to black people, I think that's the issue. I think it's just pure racism that they choose to abuse and inflict harm on black people. I just think it's racism, and not just with the police, but just with the system. Period. Overall, how we be treated when you compare. We've talked about this a thousands of times. When a black person try to get a loan, and things are so much different when you compare it to a white person. So it's just the system as a whole is not fair when it comes to a black person. And one last thing, and this is an interesting conversation, because we've talked about how since this George Floyd situation happened, how now a lot of these companies coming out, they're actually acknowledging the fact that there is systematic racism, and they want to fight against it. And Brother Kevin, and I know I always had agreed with him when he would make these points, it is just amazing how people didn't even agree, like it was untrue. Some people that call in and they would say that's just not true, and now all of a sudden the very people that it's he true. Spoke about and that I even agree right. with, they even coming out saying, yeah, we do know that there
it's
is
true.
Systematic
it's a
racism.
Problem.
Right,
exactly.
but when it was being voiced, when you was voicing it, and when I would agree with, because I totally agree with that, and we've talked about this several times on the show, it was just amazing how some people was like, nah, Nope, you just got to do this. Right. You just got to pull your pants up. Now these very companies
right.
are coming out making statements acknowledging the fact that this that that's true. I just wanted
exactly.
to just throw that out there because I found that to be very interesting, and I can pass it on.
Yes, indeed, family. Oh, you went in, Roger. If you're just joining the family, it's Collected Minds Radio. That was Queen Rigel. And we're going to get to the call lines here in a second. Do want to hear what Brother Mufasa got to say. We are talking about, should we reform the police, should we defund the police, or just demolish the police altogether? And just real quick, that'll be up to each individual city, you know, and the state police, but it's largely a local issue. So every city doesn't have to go by the same rules. It would just be each particular city and how they want to handle their police as we move forward. But we're putting a conversation out there just so we can, you know, put it in the universe as being spoke about, and we want to give, you know, our perspective as it relates to the police and, you know, moving forward with them as an entity. So, Brother Mufasa, I'm going to pass to you, my brother. What you think, reform, defund, or demolish?
Yes, sir. I'm glad you made the comment there at the end that it's going to change depending on where you're at. Each state, city is going to be different compared to other places. So
right, exactly.
I want to start with bringing up what Ryan just talked about, the incident where a non-black person was shot. This particular person's name was Tony Temper. Tony Temper. This man was killed by the police. Now, I'm going to say he was killed by the police. Maybe you could say he wasn't. He was mishandled by the police. 10 months ago, died while in police custody. Apparently, quick, just to let you know the situation, he was schizophrenic, and he had taken some drugs. He called the police department to let him know that, hey, I'm schizophrenic. I took these drugs. I'm basically on spasm now. I need help. He asked for help. What he thought the help came, it was the police who cuffed him. And as he's still on the ground spazzing, that's where they got on top of him and held him down. What I didn't like about the situation is they were laughing about it. They were making jokes about it. This man stopped breathing. They did not get off of his back because they had him face down just like George Floyd, but they knew was not on his neck. They just was holding this man down. And like I said, they were cracking jokes about the situation. They totally mishandled, had no compassion for what he was going through. When the paramedics came and they put him in the ambulance, the paramedic knew he could tell he was gone. He was actually peed off about it. Calvin said, this man is dead. And you could tell where he took his gloves off, he was peed about it. He asked the officer, do you not do CPR? And he made him do CPR on him for, you know, about 7 minutes. But he was gone. So I've said in the past that, yes, I agree this is a racist issue. We got these racist cops, this, such, and third. And what I've told Caucasian people also is you can sit there and ignore it or what these police is doing. But I tell them, let's just say they get rid of all the black people on the planet or we leave and go somewhere else. Don't think that mindset and that evilness just disappears. You think that's because now they're not beating up and shooting black people, that all these crazy, diabolical armed officers, now all of a sudden they're going to be nice and sweet? No. All that aggression and energy just changes direction to the next person they can victimize and brutalize, which is what happened in this man. In this man's situation here, that was another situation where I saw two Caucasian people in a hotel, and an officer had an AR on them, yelling out commands in the hotel. And he's telling them, "I'm gonna shoot you. You make a mistake, you will die." This is how he's talking to them. The man is crying. He's freaking out. He don't know what to do. He's telling him, "Crawl on his belly towards him. Crawl to me. If you mess up, I am gonna shoot you." And that's exactly what he did. The man disobeyed a command out of his nervousness, and he gunned the man down right there in the hallway with his crawl on his stomach. You know, so I say reform because at the end of the day, these evil people need to come off the force. The reason why I say don't disband is because you have to have somebody that responds to emergency situations. Okay? Prime example, just yesterday, two blocks up from me at the end of my street, there was a large shootout. I'm sitting right on Putch, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Shootout, just guys just go shooting like it's crazy. One person gets shot. So the police, and they hurried up and vamped out because they know, hey, you know, somebody's coming. And that somebody is the police. Police came, made their report. People who saw it gave them the information. Boom. Now go get your bad guy. Go handle the situation. So we need police for things like this. But we don't need police to be checking on drunk people sitting in a car at a Wendy's lot. And then when the guy tells you, hey, yeah, I am inebriated, but I can leave my car here and walk home, we don't need you to be an asshole cop and try to arrest him anyway. If you had any decency or humanity, you could just say, hey, I tell you what, buddy, give me your keys. I'm a call, let you call a family member to come pick you up, or I'll take you home. Yeah, we need the police to respond and check on the guy, make sure he ain't sitting there dead in his car or whatnot. Make sure ain't somebody who's right. in the car that didn't kill themselves. So, yes, when you come, though, do your job with some decency and some humanity. You know, so we have to reform and get these type of evil people off of the police force. You know, we have to change that. And we're going to put funds in for counselors. We put funds in for people to ride along with them. Whatever this reform looks like, it has to be done.
Right.
It should have been done yesterday. Not today. It should have been done yesterday. So that's why I more so stick on the part of, at this moment, of reforming, because you do need police in certain situations to respond for things. We just need to get these crazy assholes up out of there. They cannot be in control over people's lives. If you can't come to a situation and still have some compassion with a situation, you need to go. Because at that point, any vigilante can just show up.
Facts.
Like, you dismantle the police. You just put 3 or 4 people with guns and just let anybody show up to police the situation. What we need you for? You're supposed to be, quote-unquote, air quotes, a vanguard of our community, and you come in like vigilantes. So, and one other thing I want to add, this is something that was spoken about a lot during the Mike Brown situation, and I'm still supported. Police departments, police agencies should mirror the community. There's no reason that you have
right.
a black community that's 80, 90% black people and the police force is 90% white. You know, the department should mirror the community, and the police officers should come from that community. You know, I don't want to hear all the
yeah.
stuff about where they scared to fight crime because they lived there in retaliation. If you're doing right, if you're doing right by your community, your people will stand by you. They'll help you fight crime. If you don't, if
fact.
You, yeah, if you be a genuine person. So, exactly,
yeah.
man. Put people, let the police mirror the community, and they should come from the community.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Broke it down, brother. Yeah, so if you're just joining this family, this Collective Minds Radio, that was our brother, Brother Mufasa, and we heard Queen Raja before that. I'm Brother Kev. We are talking about, you know, should the police be reformed or can they be reformed as a department? Should they be defunded or should it just be demolished altogether? And I'm going to go in real quick and then we go hit the call lines. Make sure y'all hit us up. The number's 929-477-1697. Now, my stance is I'm going to have to push back just a little bit on what y'all said because I don't think reform is possible. Right? I don't think this current system can be reformed. And I've said this before when we had talks about the police. I think the system is just inherently corrupt. And then when you add police unions and other things, you know, you got black unions, white unions, all these things cause confusion. They muddy the water, and it just aids a corrupt system. This is not a training issue, right? When they talk about reform, they're talking about, oh, we're going to take a couple of white cops to the Black History Museum, or we go give them sensitivity training to see what it's like to be. No, family, we can't fall for that. because these people know exactly what they're doing. And then miraculously, 9 times out of 10, when they apprehend a white suspect, all of a sudden the train is miraculous. You see, they know how to grab the taser. Now, I'm not in all cases, but what I'm saying, in most cases, when they deal with each other, it's always a difference than when you're dealing with an unarmed black suspect. So this is not a training issue.
Exactly.
There's no amount of, you know, taking them to Black History Museum, having them watch The Color Purple or whatever they're talking about. Like, there's no amount of that that's going to enlighten these people where they go suddenly get it right. It's going to click. You see what I'm saying? So that's why I'm against the reform as far as and solving the problem, because I don't think it can be deformed. When you talk about how the police started, it's basically, you know, in an anti-black, anti-poor organization. It keeps the poor in check, and due to default and, you know, economics, you know, a lot of a large percentage of black folks are under that, under the poor or, you know, lower to middle class based on economics. So it's really an anti-black organization from top to bottom. I'm with demolishing it altogether, because I feel like we can come up with a better system, and it puts more the responsibility on the people, right? You know, we talk about accountability. We talk about being responsible for self. We need to be responsible for our neighborhoods and the things that go on. And I think Mufasa hit it on the head when he said, an outsider coming in the community trying to police, he's not going to have the same respect for somebody that's from that neighborhood, that may know these family, may know these kids, may know these women, you know, the people in the community. But you got a basically an occupation. And I'm talking about mostly in American cities, you know, in large American cities, you have an occupation in black neighborhoods by the police. Like, a lot of them don't live in the neighborhood, not from the community, don't have the same, you know, values and things like that. So it's just different when you're dealing with folks, because when you talk about, you know, dealing with the community, it's best that you come from the community. You know, we know black people just, you know, sometimes we may get loud by nature, but that don't mean we go do nothing. If we yelling, you know what I'm saying? We know how to deal with each other. We know our mannerisms and things like that. So they can use us getting loud and yelling as, oh, I'm scared, I'm in fearful. You know what I'm saying? He's being belligerent. He's being, no. I just, you know, we just have to explain, and we're very animated, you know, colorful people. And that's just what it is. And we can deal with each other on that level, even dealing with the police, if, you know. Certain people are just disrespectful people, and that goes in any race. You know what I'm saying? Some people are just bad people, and that's all across the board. But you cannot police the entire black community as if all of us are criminals. You know what I'm saying? You cannot do that. And a lot of times the police as an organization approach the black community like that. I've never had a felon. I've never been locked up. But I can tell you at least 3 or 4 times I've been stopped as I look like the suspect, right? I fit the description, right? And it's just me walking around a neighborhood, what have you, doing things. Oh, you fit the description. See? You see how that works? And that happens to a lot of brothers. You know what I'm saying? We pulled over, traffic stops. All these things are inherent in the police department. And also, like Roger hit it on the head, this is just one aspect of a anti-black racist system. But this is the first front line of defense, because they're able to kill with immunity at this point. Right. They can kill without going to jail. They may get fired, they may get death duty, you know, but they're never punished, which is the problem. So if we're not going to just totally demolish the system, which I'm with, because I, again, feel like we can come up with something better, you know, as far as accountability in the community, because I mean, let's be for real. If we live in a community, it's not hard to find out who's wreaking havoc and who's causing the problems in the community. These people could be our little cousins, little nephews, sons, daughters. You know what I'm saying? We know these people. You know, it could be some neighbors' kids. We just have to be more aware and pay attention. And like I say, it would make the people be more accountable in their neighborhood. But again, if we can't demolish the police department altogether, I would say they need to start being punished with some laws on the books. And I'm going to leave it right there because we are 7:30. Y'all can respond, and then we hit the call line and see what the family say.
Hey, Brother Kev, I just wanted to respond to a text that came from a listener. And in the text he said, if you live in the area, you police the criminals have access to your family, which means they have access to controlling you and the area. You know, my response to that is this. If you are, that's just no different than as being, you know, a member of the Nation of Islam in the black community, and you de-escalate a situation. We just have to have people that are unafraid to stand up for what's right and what's wrong, even though you know you may get some blowback. You have to have brave people who care to do that. And at that point, if I'm a police officer in my community and I know that I'm fighting against, you know, true criminal nature, I have to do what I have to do, and I have to make sure my family is protected and my family understands that. You know what I mean? Somebody has to stand up for the cause. You can't let it, because there is a such thing, it is true that there are criminals. And if they don't go unchecked, then, yeah, it's going to continue, they continue to get worse. So you have to check it. You can't let it
right.
just not go. Somebody has to be brave enough to stand up and do what's right for the community. Remember back in the day, y'all, your
exactly.
neighborhood, you had that old man on your block that everybody do who
exactly.
doesn't play with him, don't run across his grass or whatever.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Same
exactly.
with the police. You know, you got to be
yeah.
right and handle the business.
Right, because that's what I think. I think if you are, you know, in response to what the caller said, if you are a respectful, you know, genuine police, I don't think you would have a problem in a neighborhood arresting criminals because, number one, they know they're doing criminal activity. So it's not like you know the risk you take when you start engaging in street activity. So if you get caught, then you just get caught. The deal is, if you're a genuine police, that's not going to be an issue because we've seen police their community all the time. When you talk about Italian neighborhoods, the Asian towns, you know, Irish communities, you know, these communities, the Irish and Italian in particular, they were the people who started the police. So they police their own community a lot of times, and they deal with, you know, the criminals and the people accordingly. So I don't think, you know, that would necessarily be an issue as far as that goes, because the people would support, you know, cleaning up crime. It's not like people want crime in their neighborhood. No, people get the illusion that black people just want crime in their neighborhood and just welcome it. No, there's a small element of black society engage in street activity. Yeah, that engage in those type of activities. The majority of black people are just, you know, trying to live, provide a better quality of life for their family and their kids. That's the majority from what I see. But like I say, we got the riffraffs and the criminal element that's always put on Front Street, and that's what's always blasted on the news, so it looks like more criminals than it really is. You see what I'm saying? But, yeah, I digress on that.
In other words,
our
community will have to adjust to the change. And then once there's an adjustment, then the criminals that's within the community, I guess, would already know what the repercussions are going to be. And I guess whatever the repercussions are going to be is what needs to be discussed and who handled things and how things are handled. It still has to be discussed.
Right.
So that way even the
right.
criminals could know, because as a text said, a criminal has to have fear of something, or a person, you know, if you're going to do something, you have to have some fear of something. If you or feel like you can just do anything without any, you know, repercussions, and you don't get nothing after you do it, then it's like, how are you going to actually stop somebody from doing the wrong thing? So I think the community
That's not necessarily true, because things have proven that that jail doesn't necessarily deter crime, right? Meaning
that's
the
true.
Criminal is not necessarily thinking about jail. Criminal is just trying to get it how he live, and he may, you know, it may cross his mind, but it doesn't actually deter people from doing crimes. Now, here's the real question. Are we trying to rehabilitate the criminal, or are we trying to put him back on the street so he becomes a better criminal, right? What are we trying to do with the people that we catch, with the police catch? What are they trying to do with this current system we have? Are we rehabilitating these folks? Are we figuring out why they committed these crimes? Most of it's money. You know, most of these are economic crimes when you talk about the violent crimes and things that go on. So if we are a, you know, a community of people, we would have to figure out why these people are doing these crimes and come up with a system in order to get them off. But see, in order to help them, exactly. But see, with this, the system gets paid off of criminals, right? The system gets paid off of black people committing crimes. The system gets paid off of black ignorance, right? That's a $1 billion industry. And when you talk about the criminal justice system, you talk about judges, lawyers, court clerks, city officials. Like, these are big money careers and occupations, and all fueled by the poor people going to jail. It's all fueled by that. That's where all the money comes from. You setting these bails, you doing this, you doing that. So it's a cash cow, and it works if people stay criminals, and then you get the police to come after the crime is committed to lock them up, and then you just keep doing that over and over. You see? And that's the way the system designed until we figure out something else. You know? So, yeah.
Okay,
let's get
a call out,
family. Yes, indeed. We are Collective Minds Radio. We are talking about should we reform the police department, should we defund the police, or should we just demolish it altogether? In Minneapolis, the city council voted to demolish the police department, and we talked about an autonomous zone in Seattle, Washington, where there are no police in that particular zone. They have people guarding it, and the people of Seattle just, you know, doing their own, quote-unquote, policing at this moment. Okay, so y'all want to hit the call lines?
Okay. Area code 314-381. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or do you have a comment?
Man, I camped out all last two nights so I could be the first in line.
Thanks, caller, for calling me.
Well, look, let me tell you something. Kevin, you being a little bit overbroad saying we. Because you have 18,000 of these police departments in the country. And if the people in these communities are satisfied with what they got, that's their business to have what they got.
Right.
And you know, blacks only make up 6% of the state of Missouri. So they're not throughout the police departments throughout the state of Missouri. They only located in a few places.
Right, and that's
and
why
another,
I think the major cities, right? The major cities. Which is
And then in some cases they have to go to a vote because the state of Missouri controls St. Louis Police Department for a long time. So that would have to go to a vote. But, you know, here's another thing. Reading Missouri state statutes, and I think I sent you a copy. You know, it says that all political power is vested in and derived from the people, that all government of right originates from the people, is founded upon their will only, and is instituted solely for the good of the whole. Then it says this, Kevin, that the people of this state, talking about the state of Missouri, this was put it into effect, 1875, that the people of this state have the inherent, sole, and exclusive right to regulate the internal government and police thereof. People in these cities within the state of Missouri have had this power since 1875.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is this: why come they not utilizing the power that they already have, that they out there marching and protesting about something that they have the power to change? If you could do away with the police department, and you can't just have black police working in an apartment that live in a community, the courts have already ruled against that. Because the question is, say, when blacks come out in the way far St. Louis County and work jobs, should they do the same thing and say that these jobs are only for people in the community?
No,
then if you had, police that live in the community only, they complain about the schools. Then who's going to cover the liability if they make you and Roger a community police officer, and you go out and smack somebody and they sue, the lawsuit is going to be on you. The community is not going to take that on. Insurance is not going to insure you. Without a police department, the homeowner's insurance and business insurance goes up tremendously if they insure them at all. And then you just got them problems. Now, if communities want to do that, they can do that. Now, if you don't have no police department, you know who else takes into effect? The county sheriff.
Right, or the city sheriff, yeah.
The city sheriff of St. Louis.
Right.
But the county sheriff, St. Louis sits in St. Louis County. The county sheriff takes over, and you can't get rid of him because he's elected by the state or the county, and blacks don't have the numbers. See, we have to think these things out. Now, all the emphasis is on the behavior of the police. Well, why come the emphasis is not being held on the people themselves? Just like you said, you ain't never had no problems with the police. Neither have I. Heck, I was stopped on I-55 and Butler Road on my motorcycle. Highway Patrol pulled me over. I was speeding.
Right.
I had a stack barrel 38 Derringer in my Levi jacket pocket. I took it out, set it on my fairing. When the police walked up, he asked to see my driver's license. And at that time, they didn't ask for insurance, of course. And he seen the Derringer sitting up there. But see, in Missouri, that's legal. He walked back to his car,
right.
Ran a check, came back, gave me a ticket.
Now I have had a few incidents with police, but I would say overall my interactions have been pretty good because, number one, I'm very respectful off the break. That's just with anybody. You know what I'm saying? I respect myself,
well,
so
you
therefore
taught
I
that?
Respect other people. So, yeah, of course, of course.
Well,
so, but so that
young
has
people
always
ain't
helped
being
me.
Taught that.
Exactly. And being, and being able to, you know, articulate yourself, but really when you encounter these police and race soldiers, the code is to just comply. Right.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Just comply.
Yeah, just
you got a problem. You know, that shooting in Atlanta, it's on video. The man was drunk. He blew way more than he's supposed to have. And the police said, we got to handcuff you. Well, they grabbed his arm and put the handcuffs on, two cops, and he going to fight them. Grab the taser and run.
He gave him that work. Yeah,
they spent 40 minutes with him. Then you got people saying, we called the police 2 hours ago. Where were they? So, yes, you do have racist cops on the police department. It's up to the citizens to get rid of them because they're going to be your liability. Berkeley can't afford that type of stuff.
No, I'm going to say this one last thing in response to that. It's up to these police departments to get rid of them because they know these officers are racist. These officers come in with 10, 15 complaints against them. They got all type of infractions. They doing all type of stuff, and they still rehire these people. They didn't kill
people,
shot at people, and they are staying on the force.
Yeah, but let's say how it works, Kevin. Be careful. Hang on for it. It's the commission that fires and hires police department, not the chief, in nearly all the cases of the time. They got their commission, and that's the way it should be. That commission should go over these complaints. I mean, that's where it goes to, a police commission. I was police commission in Hillsdale for a minute. And that's what they do. They make the policy that control the police office. You had cops in there that was robbing, shaking down drug dealers. FBI came in at least two times.
So are you saying they're protected by a commissioner? If a white officer is prejudiced and has displayed racism towards the community and have all kind of complaints, you mean he's protected by a commissioner? If he's not fired by the commissioner, nothing can be done? You mean to tell me that the chief don't have no power? The chief don't have a power to do something? You mean to tell me that a white officer can display racism and abuse to people in the community and have to wait on something? He can't get fired immediately for bad behavior?
The police chief got the right to enact some sort of punishment. But ultimately, that's what their commission is for. They sets the policy. In Pine Lawn, in Hillsdale, in Velda Village, Jennings dissolved their police department. Jennings was all black. Had one white person on the council. That's the responsibility of people in the community. That's what I just read you the law.
Right. This is what we're saying. I mean, that's the responsibility of the people, but she's talking about why can't they be punished if they have a bad track record? You see what I'm saying?
Right.
That's still up to the commission, maybe. Listen.
I'm not saying it's fair.
Same thing
sad.
In the military.
I'm just saying it's very sad that a police officer can inflict all kind of brutality on the community and he's protected by the commissioner.
When police officers inflict something to a citizen that they think is wrong, they have a right and do file complaints. They even file a complaint with the police department in St. Louis, or they can go out to St. Louis County and file a complaint. That's the way it is. If you're in a court.
But
the
complaint
doesn't... up to the commissioners. But that's what I'm saying. The complaint
doesn't... Well, the police commissioner, you have a housing commissioner. You got a health commissioner.
You
got a
public
safety commissioner.
That makes no sense to tell me to go file a complaint.
That makes no sense.
That's the way it is in their ordinance. Wait a minute. That's the way it is in the ordinances of the community. It's been that way.
But it still doesn't make any sense. That's what we're saying.
But then what people should do is change it.
How you got the guy that killed George Floyd? He had 12.
No, that's Minnesota. That's Minneapolis. I'm in St. Louis.
Right. But that's what I mean, that's just an example. It's a municipality in a U.S. city. So we can
look at Pagedale when the police officer, Mr. Hubbard, who had problems in St. Louis, they reviewed his record and got rid of him. He ended up in Pagedale, and he was had a bad apple in the community, put a gun in people's mouth and threatened to pull the trigger. He did kill a man that was fighting a white police officer. He came up behind him, shot him in the head. The city got rid of him. He tried to go to Kenlock. Zaki Baruti and them followed him to Kenlock on the day that he was supposed to be considered by the council for hiring, and they shouted it down. They got rid of him in there in Kenlock, would not hire him. He went over to Illinois. That's the way it's supposed to work. It's called due process. I'll see you.
All right. Yes, indeed. We appreciate you, Colin. We don't leave it there.
Right. Disagreeing with what he was saying per se. I'm just saying that makes no sense, and that's part of the problem that we're talking about. You mean to tell me a white officer can come in the community, do this and do that, and people file all these complaints, but yet the chief or the sergeant has no power to do nothing but to reprimand them in some other small way that's not going to solve the problem? So then you just got this man in the community for years after years inflicting.
Exactly.
Doing
Lord knows what. You know what I'm saying? Doing Lord knows what to folks.
And
you know.
And that's exactly what happened. And even though this is not the time for this conversation, but he's right. We've had this conversation before about when I say people in the community, speaking of predominantly black communities, I'm just going to speak on St. Louis. People do not get active, even on the local level, because they don't know, like he said, about teaching people. A lot of us don't know what to do in certain situations. We don't pay attention to ordinances. We don't pay attention to who's running the show. We don't get involved. We don't get involved with our children's education. We do not get involved. So this is the result of it. This is the result. But that's a conversation for, you know, another time.
Right,
yes,
because I don't
indeed.
Think that's the result of it, though. But you're right, this is for a conversation at another time. 319-572, caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, I had a comment. So, y'all want to get the police. Hey, hello? Hey.
Caller, thanks for calling in.
Caller, peace. Yes, indeed. We got you.
I wasn't finished.
No,
you didn't hear me talk.
Go ahead.
Okay. So you guys want to get rid of the police department. Let's say y'all get rid of the police department. Now, what's next? The sheriff, highway patrol, state troopers, DOT, border patrol? What? And if you want to talk about the guy that got shot, he stole the police officer's taser and tried to use it on the police. So as far as that's concerned, he committed suicide. And he made that choice as a black man to fight the police and take their weapon out of their belt and use it on them. And what was that? Then what if that was the officer's gun? Like I said, you guys want to. And then you guys talking about local people patrolling their own neighborhood. You know what that sounds like? Corruption.
Right,
so,
but you think it'd be more corrupt than the police? How can it be more corrupt than the police already are
now? Well, yeah. Let's say I'm a big dope dealer. Okay, I'm on the block. Guess what? I'm gonna pay the police. I'm gonna pay them off. They're in my own community, so they get to pick and choose of which crimes they want to investigate and which ones they don't want to investigate. So
this is what they do already,
and then you guys talk about defunding the police. So what happens when you defund the police? They don't have access to training or better training. So the best thing is to do is to reform the police and give the chief the power he deserves. If he fires you, you're fired. Shouldn't be no committee to put that joker back in, because after the chief fires you and your committee puts you back in, he go out and commit another crime. He go out and violate somebody else and mess up again. You know, the police said they look like I told you. Now you just cost us $2 million. So you guys can't have your cake and eat it too. So y'all go ahead and get the next caller. That's all I was going to say.
All right. Yes, indeed. We appreciate it. Caller, appreciate it.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Oh, just real quick. You know, he was talking about, well, you know, you have the police and the criminals go pay off the police and do this and do that. Well, that's the system we have now, where police are paid off and, you know, they go after these low-level drug dealers and let the big fish. You know, they're doing that now where police are paid off. Like, that system, the police has been corrupt for a long time. If you want to talk about organized crime and mobsters paying off of police, having police on the payroll, you know, the chief on the payroll, things like that have been going on for a long time. That's what I'm saying. So I think if you put the responsibility solely on the people, and again, I have faith that, you know, we're smart enough to come up with a better system of handling crime. And a lot of crime, unbeknownst to the people, orchestrated by the government. Now, I'm going to say this again. A lot of the crime that happens in our communities is orchestrated by the government, unbeknownst to the criminals and to the community. So I'm going to, you know, digress and just put that out there and let people ponder on that. So we got to be wise and understand what's going on out here.
The only thing I wanted to say is in response to what he said about the shooting in Atlanta, I agree. Yeah, when he went to wrestling with the police, y'all know I speak my mind on that. We have to hold each other accountable when we make mistakes. That's why I'm always about trying to teach my people how they should react to things. Yeah, that was suicide. Yeah, it was. When he turned around with the police officer, taser, and pointed at him, yeah, it definitely was suicide. But I have to say, going all the way back to when they were speaking with him, as a police officer, and you should have been a vanguard to the community, your job is to protect and serve. And go ahead, what's wrong with just serving the man and helping him? He telling you he done had a few drinks. He being honest with you. You couldn't have just said, hey, man, go ahead and call you a ride. I'm going to take the keys. Why did it have to go so, you know, to the next level? Oh, I got to arrest you. You know, damn. Why do you always have to be an a-hole and escalate a situation? Just be a vanguard of the community. You could have took that man home yourself. You could have, he said, sister down the block. You could have put him in the back of your cruise and said, man, I tell you, we're going to drop you off at home. But he was too much of an asshole to do that.
Yeah, totally agree with that. And another thing, too, real quick, and like the caller was talking about as far as it sounds like corruption, Brother Kev mentioned some good points. It's already corruption, and the things that he mentioned, that's already going on anyway. And like Mufasa said, to go that route, even whether we go that route or not, it has to be important to weed out the evil cops that's in the force. So that way things can be a little bit more balanced, you know. So as far as the corruption goes, if you got somebody, and then if we also continue to address the racism that I was speaking about earlier, then it will help where people shouldn't have to sell drugs, because right now a lot of people is doing the drugs as a means to take care of their family because of the corruption that's on the higher level outside of the police department that I was talking about. They going trying to get jobs. I don't even have to talk about that. We already know. But I just wanted to throw that out there, and we can move on to another caller because I know we kind of run
yes,
out
indeed.
Of time.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Just real quick, if you just joined this family, we are talking about what are we going to do moving forward with the police? Do y'all think we should reform, defund, or demolish the police altogether? Give us a call, 929-477-1697. Let's hit the call line.
Area code 314-438. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or do you have a comment? Okay, 314-438. Okay, probably just listening. Area code 314-616. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
Peace.
Hey, caller.
I definitely think that the police department needs to be removed. Well, honestly, I don't care what they do on their end, but when it comes to us, as I said before, we need black nationalism. That's the end of to fix all our problems and solve all our issues. Because these police officers, whether they're white or black, they're insurgents in our community. You know, this is a institution that's birthed out of the slave patrol, and they're not needed. I mean, the people can govern themselves. I think that we have indoctrinated white supremacy into our lives so much. We're looking for a white savior, so we think that somehow we need the police. How can we fix our own problems when we're dealing with these type of insurgents that are going inside our head with billy clubs and, you know, killing us systematically? So I really believe that you know, outside of a black nationalism, you know, we need an anarchy. I don't even see the need for government, because when you're dealing with corruption, I think when the people can police themselves and begin to solve their own problems, you would be surprised
right.
at how a lot of this so-called crime and everything else would dissolve itself. If I knew that
exactly.
there was consequences for me coming into your car, meaning like, you know, you could do what you want to me without any repercussions, it would make me think twice about how you behave. So I know we
right.
probably have other callers, but that's pretty much where I stand. I really feel like black nationalism is a problem to all our answers, and there is no need for police because there aren't any good cops, you know, because the good cops that I know are not cops anymore because of the way
exactly.
the system has been set up. So you can dismiss
exactly.
me with all that, trying to weed out the good ones and bad ones, because you're dealing with white supremacy, which is very covert.
Right.
So I can pretend. I mean, like, hey, by now I'm seeing the so-called good white people that y'all talk about are coming out of their white supremacist skin now, like a snake shedding his skin.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody
right.
I'd have known for 20 years, I thought this person was good, Kevin. I thought they was good. They are
right.
short, true colors. So
right.
I want to ask
that you guys.
I want
yes,
to turn the caller
hilarious.
I want to ask the caller a question before he goes. Say
yes,
say in a situation though, like we have with North St. Louis. What's the percentage of black people in North St. Louis? What would you guess?
I would imagine that probably 90% of the people that are living in North St. Louis are black.
Mm-hmm. So let's just say, for instance, if North St. Louis and South St. Louis Police Department was divided, North St. Louis Police Department was an entity on its own, and since it's 90% black, the police force reflected the community of being 90% black. Do you think that would make a difference?
I got a better one for you, Mufasa. I think that if the minister stepped up and allowed his troops to police our neighborhoods and get these guys in check, I think we wouldn't even have their problems. But that even goes back to black nationalism. So, again, we don't even need the police for them. We could use the FOI. I believe that the same way that you guys protect these rappers and all them, I believe that you guys have the same power to protect our neighborhoods. I really believe that.
Right. But still, I want you to answer that question.
It is what it is.
That's the question at hand. Or do you think if it was 90% black, would it make a difference? It sounds like you agree that it would make a difference.
That it would make a difference in what aspect?
Because it's like you said, if the FOI was to police the community, and we already know that's 100% black. We know how you say you agree that would make a difference. So if the police force was 90% black to reflect the community, would you agree that it would make a difference? That's all I want to know.
Okay. Only if these police officers are living in the neighborhood. Now, if these police officers are working for the power structure, then you're dealing with the same madness, because it will be a matter of time before – because, see, white supremacy is not going to police itself. It's going to police up behind all day. So the corruption that they have within their organization is going to continue to escalate. But you can't come in there and infiltrate what they got going on. So if we had a 90% police force that was a black nationalist, well, you know, you can't have nothing but 100% in different black nationalists. I'm going to say that. So if we have a black nationalist organization that is policing the neighborhoods, we don't have this problem.
Right. So
that's what I was
going to
say. It depends, but the nation is under they have a different set of rules and codes that they go by. A police officer, white or black, have a different set of rules and codes that they go by, and their rules and codes is delivered by the white supremacy.
Yeah, but you know what? I would say overall the codes are probably the same, but the thing is because I'm whitey, you know, I can justify why I do something, as opposed to, you know, you being black, then your justification is inadequate. Kind of like the street code, you know, don't snitch, don't tell. And, you know, the police follow that same code. So is corruption corruption or?
So basically what we're getting at is, if even if it was 90%, then, you know, 90% black, y'all basically saying because of the mindset of those 90% of those black officers, because of their mindset, it wouldn't work.
you basically say it's going to turn into the same crap that we got going on now, correct?
If we're following a black code, it's going to work. But if we're policing ourselves under white supremacy, that ain't going to work.
Point made. We're definitely talking about that again.
And then we also clear
on where you was coming from.
Right. And we also got to keep in mind that when it comes to black officers as well, there's a different standard, right? We could just point to the Mohammed Nuor case in New Orleans where he accidentally shot an unarmed white woman and they gave him 12 years. So it's a different standard altogether. And like the caller was saying, when you're getting your orders from the system of white supremacy, eventually it's going to turn into the same thing with those 90 officers. Now, you may have less fatalities possibly, but the system would still be the same. You dig what I'm saying? We still would be funneling black bodies through this criminal justice system for a profit. You see what I'm saying? So the whole thing just needs to be demolished, in my opinion. But, you know, I digress. So, yeah, family, we are within the last half hour of the show.
Thank you, caller, for calling in. Thank you.
Yeah, right on, caller. Appreciate it. We are within the last half hour of the show. We are talking about, you know, what should we do with the police as far as reform, defund, or demolish. You know, it's been kind of half and half. A lot of people want to keep the police. A lot of people for reform. I'm with just demolishing it. You know what I'm saying? I think we can do better and create a better system to govern ourselves. And even the term police, like the language is important. So I don't even like the term police, where we can be accountable for ourselves and really, you know, see what's the root of the problem. If you have a drug problem, a healthy society wouldn't address the drug problem by arresting a drug dealer. A healthy society would address the addict and see why do you have to use these hard drugs? What's going on in your life, society, you know, where you have to feel like you have to use these hard drugs and abuse them. You see what I'm saying? But we doing it so backwards. We selling the drugs and we arresting the criminals. So that don't do nothing with the drug addict, even though they have these little different rehabilitation type things that they're starting to do now that the heroin addict has, you know, hit suburbia. Right, but when it was crack, it wasn't no rehabilitation. You got caught with some crack, you was a crackhead, you was going to jail. You know, you might get the 3 strikes. It wasn't no rehabilitation. So we got to figure out as a society how we want to deal with people who digress from being, you know, guy body, melanated, upright, standing black people. What is it in society that makes them digress? I already know what it is. It's a system of white supremacy. It supplies you drugs, guns, alcohol, sex, porn. You got all your vices readily available to you. So as black people, we're going to have to figure out how to, you know, control those vices as they enter our community. You see what I'm saying? And I think we can do that without the police, in other words. But I digress. You know.
Yeah, and
y'all hit the call line. Was up, or you got a response?
Let's hit the call line. Area code 315-767. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Hi there.
Hey, caller.
Hey,
y'all
hear me,
caller?
Yes, indeed.
Hey, you're welcome. As a trucker, I don't really think I like the idea of there not being any law enforcement while I'm out here on the road going through these cities. If they've also had a couple of forums for us truckers where we've been talking about it, and a lot of truckers said that they won't be delivering goods in cities that have no law enforcement because it's too dangerous for them. It's just dangerous. So I mean, if they get rid of the law enforcement, and then you no longer have a supply chain, your cities are going to be in a bad way, because we can turn down jobs. Like, St. Louis has defunded the police. Oh, you got to load to St. Louis. Oh, I ain't going to St. Louis. Oh, Seattle has defunded the police. Like that Chaz zone. Ain't no shipments going in there. No truckers are going into the downtown Seattle area. So what's happening to the people that live down there? They're not getting resupplied.
Right.
If their stores aren't getting their deliveries. And that's all because of the breakdown in law enforcement, which is a breakdown in safety, which is a breakdown in your economic system. So that leads to even more crime and more destitution.
There's
a lot of things tied to a lot of – you might think it's just a little thing. But that little thing, that little string, when you pull that, it unravels the entire sweater. And then you're bare naked.
Naked and afraid.
Well, I think we need to be naked. I think the whole system
naked
is
naked and afraid.
If you start, with the police,
but it's going to hurt. Now, I say, hey, get rid of the police. If you get rid of the police, then the vacuum's going to be filled some way. The vacuum's going to be filled some way.
Exactly. So the thing
people aren't
is,
just gonna
you
do
would
good.
Just,
people aren't just going
right.
to do good because we decide, hey, we're not going to have police because police are bad. Now people are going to just have to do good on their own. That is a fallacy of thought.
Well, I would say this. It would be one of those things where it wouldn't just happen all of a sudden, like one day you got police. It would be, a progress and happen in stages. And then
how long
I think,
does it take for you to get criminalized? How long does it take for you to get criminalized, for your house to get broken into and your family to be destroyed? How long does
that
take?
That's the thing, because
how long does that take? Right now, the only thing holding those tides back are the idea that the police will be there to rescue you, even though they really won't, because it only takes a couple of minutes for your whole family to be wiped out, and it takes 15 minutes for the police to get there in the first place. So right now,
just like the situation I brought up earlier about the shootout in my neighborhood.
Because they're barely holding the line while they're in existence. So if they're not in existence at all, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think the people will figure it out. That's what I think will happen, and come up with a solution, as we always have since time immemorial.
You have the time factor. You have that time factor.
Right.
What's going to happen in the vacuum? What's going to happen in the vacuum?
But the thing is, the police are not stopping from people from running up in somebody's house. That's not what's going on.
No, they're not. But they're a minor deterrent. But it's just enough. It's just enough to make it as minimal as possible. Without them being there at all, there is now no longer any deterrent. And if trucks aren't coming into your area to deliver food and people start running out of food, where are they going to go when the stores don't have any more? Going to go to their neighbors.
Right.
Yeah, because I'm gonna keep it real.
If you're gonna denude the police, you guys need to arm yourself and train. You need to arm yourself and you need to train to protect yourself and your families. Each individual is gonna be their own island.
If I know I don't have to worry about the police showing up, I can wreak havoc. If I'm a criminal, I can wreak havoc in a neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? I could get together with about 10 other dudes, and we can just wreak havoc if I don't have any fear that something's coming to stop me. And this is happening in North St. Louis. Yes, that's
right.
Happened before.
Those folks,
but it'll just be able to spread
mentality,
now. It'll just be able to spread to wherever.
Right. So, again, that mentality, if you're going to wreak havoc on your own community, we need to weed those people out. Like,
yeah,
that type of mentality needs to go.
So, quickly here. My idea, instead of defunding the police, what they need to do is they need to go through the policies, make some reformations, and all those cops that already have bad dockets on them, they need to be released immediately, and they need to start hiring new ones, and they need to be screened a lot better before they're brought in. And if they and they need to, they need to do away with the union. The police unions are what keep bad police on.
That's
so
fact.
That's it. That's all they got to do. Get rid of the unions. Go through the records and get rid of bad cops. Put on some new cops and change a few policies. Then we have police. But if they just defund and just say, well, we're going to get rid of them all right now and figure out what happens down the line, you're going to have a lot more problems, a lot more problems than just some bad police. You're going to have starving bad neighborhoods.
That's interesting. Right on for the perspective, and letting us know what the truck is saying.
Okay.
Out there.
Hey, thanks for the show, though.
Right on,
I've been enjoying it.
Yes, indeed.
Thanks,
we appreciate you. So that's interesting. So with when these particular cities talk about defunding or just demolishing up police, according to the caller, truckers are saying we're not going through those cities. So that does add an interesting dynamic. But I think if they were, like I say, it's not going to just happen just like that. What's up, brother?
I was going to say, you remember when they had the protest, what was that, last week and a half ago? And they had the highway shut down? The FedEx truck driver.
Right.
Remember they started jumping on his truck? I mean, and he had to just go ahead and he could either abandon the truck or he could roll out. He rolled out
died.
So,
yes,
if you're going to have people that start doing stuff like that, like, oh, man, it's a free fall. You do have a scourge in the community that will take advantage.
Yes, of course. Unfortunately, it is. Yes, you do. And those, again, we're going to have to, handle those as a community, as, men in our community. I think we can handle that. And again, because I'm from the understanding that if, black people did have an autonomous city where we controlled everything, I think, and we were left to our own devices, I think we would fare much better, based on history. Let's try to get a couple more callers in. We're running late, family. We're talking about police reform, defunding, or just demolishing. Let's see what's up. Make it plain, family, when you call in.
Area code 314-705. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment? Okay, probably just listen. Area code 314-833. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Hello?
Hey, caller. Thanks for calling in.
Make
it plain.
Well, I think the gentleman called before me made it very plain. And what he said as far as getting rid of the cops, because it would be chaos. That would give those with minds that ready to commit these crimes, that would just give them more of there's nobody around. We could do this, that, and the other. So he's kind of summed it up for what I was going to say, which is true. You don't want to just get rid of them because there are some good ones in there. And like he say, screening them would probably be more appropriate as far as the cops is concerned, getting them screened, getting the union, So he kind of summed it up. So I wouldn't just say really get rid of them because it would be chaos. That's all I have to say.
All right. Yes, indeed, Carla.
Thanks, Tom.
Appreciate it. All right.
And I want to try to get one more and just move on. If we can't get you, Tom. I know we got some
money
online.
Let's try one more.
Okay, area code 609-310. Caller, you on with Collective Minds Radio? Do you have a question or a comment?
I have a comment.
Okay,
well, I agree with the last two callers. I think we should
totally
reform, and I think the more basic thing is that they need to start making these police officers move back into these communities, because if you don't live in a community, how can you care for
right.
the community that you don't live in? If you live in that
That's
community,
right.
you're going to care for that community. You're going to make sure they ain't robbing, killing, stealing, and doing none of that. We all know that it's
right.
still going to be drugs and bad people out there, so we got to be realistic about everything,
right.
you know what I'm saying? Because, I mean,
right.
if we, like you said, if we just totally go do away with the police, then I mean, I could say I agree with you. We may be able to figure it out, but by the time we figure it out, we might be in a bad situation. See what I'm saying? We don't want to be worse than what we started,
right.
You know?
Right, right. Yes, indeed. Yep. I agree.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. She made some good points. Yeah, that's why I was saying it would happen in stages. Of course, I wouldn't be just get rid of the police until we figure it out. I think we would have to come up with a plan prior to, and then we kind of work to, you know, eventually move towards no police. And I want to put this out there, too. I don't know if y'all know, but in London, their police don't even have guns, right? They have very low homicides in a city of about, you know, I think 7-8 million people. They be having like maybe 100, last year they say 149 homicides. So that's just one thing. That's just one example of police who don't have guns, right? And they're able to police. It's not chaos. It's not the world's falling. All the criminals are taking over. No, they don't have guns, and they're still able to relatively police a large city. You see what I'm saying? So we just have to find, you know, a better way to attack the problem and make sure that everybody's safe at the same time. So I digress. I'm going to let y'all wrap it up. You know, appreciate the callers. This was a great show, baby.
Yeah. I'll say real quick, yeah, definitely we need to stick with the reform. On the back burner, not back burner, but outside of that, I still do believe in us separating, but that's another for another conversation. But in the area like St. Louis, North St. Louis, that's predominantly black, if I'm there and I see a bunch of white police officers riding through the neighborhood policing it, there's a problem. There's a problem. It does not look like my neighborhood, does not look like my area. Got people in there that's not going to turn like I will turn. And so I need the police department to look like my community, and I need them to be trained in how to deal with certain situations and not respond to situations that they shouldn't respond to. You got someone having a psychotic episode, you shouldn't be the one to respond. If you do come, you need to bring some mental health professionals with you. So we need to get into that more. We need the police, but they're not getting the proper training. In some situations, they just should not even be dealing with it.
Okay, yeah, good point.
Yes, sir. Great point.
I mean, if we can all agree with the saying, there's always room for improvement, then that lets me know that if this was to come to pass, then they just give us an opportunity to make the situation better, because we can make something better out of this if it was to go that route. We just, like people have mentioned, we have to figure it out, come up with a better solution and a better plan. Because the injustice is a big problem. Like I keep saying, I'm going to touch base on this one last time. It's not so much of just the police. Things is just being, it's all, the scale is always unbalanced. It's, when it comes to the white and black, the police always make it much harder for the black. With the young man who was just shot in Atlanta, if he was white, white people do that all the time, and they get away with it. They don't get shot. But black people, it's always just the scale is always just different. But I want to thank everybody for calling in and tuning in with us and all our supporters. We ask you to continue to support us each and every Sunday, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you name it. Any show topic ideas, please feel free to email us at collectiveminds@yahoo.com. We look forward to talking to you again next Sunday. Peace.
Stand on your...
Collective Minds Radio.
I mean, people.
Stand on your square. We on the earn. We about to earn out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call
dealing with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who been a peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. 2 weeks talking.
Like you want it.